2 Kings chapter 5. And Chris so kindly reminded me last week that we never got around to reading 2 Kings chapter 5. I had you turn to two passages and we never got to the second one, so we're going to pick up there today. We'll read that in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence, your affirming presence, the words spoken to our hearts, specifically the people that came forward and heard from your voice and your heart, Lord. Thank you that their lives are forever changed by your word. The healings have come. The clarity has come. Thank you for singing over us, Father. The kingdom is ours. We rejoice in it. We'll walk worthy of it today. We love you in Jesus' name. Open our ears and our eyes to see what you want us to see from your word. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're on a series called Power Tools, the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I got a good confirmation that we're in good company. The Holy Spirit's leading us. I don't know how I bumbled onto it yesterday, but Rick Renner's website, right on the homepage. Rick Renner's a Bible teacher. He's been a missionary to Moscow for decades now. He's shaken Russia and many countries over in Europe. He's an awesome teacher of the Word of God. Rick Renner, if you've never heard him, you can just go to his homepage and listen to messages for free. Rick Renner Ministries. Well, I checked Rick Renner's website, or got an email from him or something led me to his website. And guess what he's teaching on right there on his homepage? You can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I knew. I said, yes, Lord, you got us on a good track. Rick must have been listening to my messages the last couple weeks, and I've been an inspiration to him. The first one to laugh was my wife. Well, I want to say this on the onset about the gifts of the Spirit. The body of Christ is meant to express Christ. Think about it. Jesus is the head. We're the body. We are meant to manifest and to express who He is. He was anointed when He was here on earth. He healed the sick when He was here on earth. He moved in power when He was here on earth during those 3 years of ministry. And guess what? We're anointed here on earth. We're called to heal the sick here on earth. We're called to move in power here on earth because we are the body of Christ. Amen. Amen? As the head, so is the body. I want to say this. The word for power, this is a quote from Reinhard Bonnke in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says this about that word power. The word for power in the Greek, of course, it's dunamis. If you've ever looked it up before, you know it's D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis, which is the word from the Greek that we get our word. Dynamite, right? And he says this. He said, the word for power in Acts 1:8 means power in reserve. It's like a stick of dynamite. It will just lie there like a stone until activated, right? Isn't that what dynamite's like? You got to light the fuse. Bugs Bunny shows us how, you know? A Roadrunner shows us how. You got to light the fuse, all right? It will just lie there until activated. What's the use of boasting in power if we don't do the job that needs to be done? Okay, we can say, well, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But if we're not activating that power that's within us, it's like we got a big stick of dynamite in us, and actually it's more like an atomic bomb, but we haven't lit the fuse. Amen? The power is in you. Say, the power is in me.
The power is
in me. It's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. That Spirit, and remember last week I shared with you that Jesus did everything He did when He acted in power and in healing and in miracles. He did everything that He did by the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it as the Son of God, though that's who He was. He came in flesh and submitted Himself to the limitations of flesh so that He could show us how to move in the Spirit. And that's what Reinhard Bonnke's talking about here. He's saying, what's the use of having power if we don't do the job that needs to be done? The release of the Spirit's power is never possible until we're active. You know, I was talking to Kobe Ferguson from Israel, who was here last summer with us. And Kobe and I were chatting a little bit. He sent me a WhatsApp voice memo. So he sent me a voice memo. It was about 10 minutes long, so I listened to this voice memo. And I asked him to relay a story. He had told us this story when he was here about how he was walking the streets of Jerusalem. And he and his wife had not been getting along great that morning, but he had gone out to get some coffee or run an errand. And while he was out, he encountered this young man, this young Jewish, Orthodox Jewish guy. And when you go to Israel with us in a couple of years, when we go, whenever that the Lord opens the way, you'll see these guys. They wear the hats. They've got the long hair by their sideburns. They're very, very religious, very dedicated into the Old Testament studies and so forth. Well, he saw this guy coming up the sidewalk, and the Holy Spirit spoke to Kobe, even though he just had this you know, semi-spat with his wife, wasn't getting along good, wasn't feeling spiritual at the moment, okay, amen? How many of you know you can move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit even when you're not having a great day? You just draw that power out and light the fuse. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, that young man's going to come talk to you. And sure enough, the guy came over across the street, came over and talked to him and said, what's the time? And Kobe said, well, he was a little bit annoyed. He's still in kind of a little bit of a bad mood for the moment. But he said, well, you've got a cell phone there. You can tell the time there by your cell phone, can't you? He goes, yeah. And they started talking. And Kobe went ahead and started opening up because the Holy Spirit had prompted him and told him, hey, this guy's going to have conversation with you. Long story short, the gifts of the Spirit started flowing. And he just basically shared the whole gospel with this young man. There was a lot of antagonism at first, as you can expect. But the Lord began speaking through Kobe words of knowledge. And the guy reared back and said, how did you know that? Who's been talking to you about me? He literally freaked out because he thought some of his friends had been telling stories on him about things he had been doing or things that were, you know, a part of his life that we're not so excited to talk about. But the Holy Spirit, we've been talking with you last week about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge will reveal. Amen. It's not sent to expose or embarrass people, but it's sent to reveal the heart so that they know two things, and we've been sharing with you this over and over in this series. God knows and God cares. Amen. The word of knowledge is there to tell us God knows and God cares. It's never to embarrass or humiliate people. But anyways, long story short, he really led this guy to Jesus right there on the streets. Robert was sharing with us Wednesday night, did a great job. Thank you, Robert. And he talked about the idea of being results-minded and breakthrough-minded versus just theory-minded. And that's what we're talking about when we read this quote from Reinhard Bonnke. It's, the gifts of the Spirit are in you and in me to be released and be activated, not to just be theory up here in our head. And so where does dynamite need to go off? Not in the church so much. How many of you know we can walk by faith in here? I don't need a miracle to convince me that Jesus is real. But people out there do. Amen. Okay? I don't need a word of knowledge to remind me that God knows and God cares. But people out there might. The Bible says men love darkness because their deeds were evil. They hated the light. So they're out there hiding in the corners. You know, they're like little roaches out there. We got to go seek them out. Remember last week we talked about ferreting things out, right? Being a ferret, part of the weasel family. We said that word, you know, I love that word ferret. The Holy Spirit, so many times he'll begin to ferret things out among people. And so he sends us to be those that will be sanctified, aggressive ones, if you will. And we go out amongst the darkness and we say, Lord, where are you speaking? What are you saying in this dark place? What are you saying to drive back the shadows from this dear person's life? Again, the intent is what? It's love. It's love. It's reaching people. It's loving people. Let me say this. Without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're limited. Without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're limited. Because we don't know true needs in people's hearts. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to reveal us what's going on in this person's life. And you can pray. Sometimes God will give you a word of knowledge about somebody or an insight about somebody and say, you know, so-and-so's in trouble. So-and-so's fighting discouragement. Hey, I got news for you, saints. We're all connected here. In case you haven't figured it out yet. Once you join yourself to the body of Christ, when you submit your life and say, Lord, this is the church you've planted me in. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I've come here and you begin connecting with people. It's a supernatural connection. You know, there are many times when I'll get a phone call or a text from Terry or we'll be at home together. And all of a sudden, one of you guys will ring us up with a prayer request. Guess what's already been happening? The Holy Spirit in me has already been starting to, you know, purr in my motor. I'm already praying in tongues many times before we ever get the text. Why? Because we're connected. I'm connected to you. You're connected to me. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you about me. And you and I can hear from the Holy Ghost about you. Amen? That's just part of being the body of Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Amen? Amen? It's a great connection. Because we can't make it through this life on our own. Sometimes you need prayer for encouragement. Sometimes I need prayer for encouragement. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, do it. And I'll do the same for you. Amen? So we're connected. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. And this is where the revelation gifts come in. I don't know certain things about your life, but the Holy Ghost does. The Father does. God is almighty. He has all power. If you twist your ankle and you come up here, you need a healing in your ankle, God can heal that ankle. He fixes broken bones. He mends the body. Amen? Isn't it amazing? These human bodies, even in our fallen state, think of it, saints. You know, the psalmist said, he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I was looking down at my ankle the other day, veins and all. And I said to myself, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I started singing a song about it. I'm fearfully and wonderfully. I can't remember the tune. Probably doesn't need to be repeated. But I began to sing about how fearfully and wonderfully made I am. But yet, even as awesome as we are, but beneath the fall, our bodies need mending sometimes. And God's power is here to touch broken bodies. Amen. It's here for us, saints. The gifts of the gifts of healings, working of miracles, gifts of faith. God is love. This is where the vocal gifts come in, because when we talk about, and we will talk about it in the coming weeks, the gift of New Testament prophecy. New Testament prophecy is not predicting the future. New Testament prophecy is edifying, exhorting, and comforting. It's a very positive vocal gift that's given for the moment when the need arises. All right, you're in 2 Kings 5, right? You thought I forgot again, didn't you? All right, let's read it. Verse 19. Verse 19. Let me give you the background behind the story. We don't have time to read the whole chapter. But Naaman, a man from Assyria, has come to the prophet Elisha to be healed. He's got leprosy, pretty bad case. And he comes down into Israel from northern Syria. He comes into Israel, into enemy turf, to be healed by the prophet. And the prophet sent him to the Jordan River. You remember he dipped seven times in the river and he came up whole. And he came back to Elisha and he said, hey, let me give you something. You know, sometimes people, you give them a gift, a Holy Spirit, they want to give you something back. And Elisha refuses. The guy says, no, let me give you some silver, some clothing, some, you know, robes and some threads, as we would say it in today's lingo, if that's the current lingo, I don't know. But anyways, he says, let me give you something for this healing you just given me, you know. And Elisha refuses. He said, no way. Just go on your way. And that's where we'll pick up in verse 19. Look at verse 19. Go in peace, Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. Boy, he's just kind of bold. He's saying, as surely as the Lord lives, like he's being led by God for this naughty thing he's about to do. Look in verse 21. So he ran and hurried after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. But my master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. By all means, take two talents, said Naaman. Now, you know, that sounds like he's giving him two coins. You know how much that is? You look in your footnotes, it'll say about 75 pounds worth of silver. That's some silver now. 75 pounds. So he loads him up with 75 pounds of silver in two bags and two sets of clothing. He gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. So he's actually brought his servants with him in this crime, okay? He's in this conspiracy. Now look at verse 24. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. Then he went in and stood before his master, Elisha. Where have you been, Gehazi? Elisha asked. Your servant didn't go anywhere, Gehazi answered. Sounds like a little child, doesn't it? Where you been, Johnny? Nowhere. Right? Typical answer from a little child. Your servant didn't go anywhere, he said. But Elisha said to him, boom, here it goes. Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take my... What is that? Elisha has a word of knowledge. Remember what word of knowledge deals with? It deals with the present and the past. And Elisha says, I saw you when you approached the man in his chariot. And he says, this is not the time to take money or accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, or men servants and maid servants. In other words, he's telling Gehazi what Gehazi probably intended to do with the 75 pounds worth of silver. He's saying, I see you buying vineyards and you know, clothing and all this. You want to go shopping, right? That's what he's telling him. And he says this in verse 27. Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Wow. Talk about a reversal. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. Wow, not a pretty picture. What I wanted to share this chapter with you for is because many times the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, which we're going to study today, go hand in hand together. And that's what we see in the story. The word of knowledge came to Elisha and said, I saw you when. And then he says, and now moving forward in time, leprosy is going to cling to you forever and your family. Wow. Your descendants, not only you, but your children. What a curse. So the word of wisdom is given to tell what's coming ahead. It reveals the plans and purposes of God. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you see it? You see how the two work together? The word of knowledge told Elijah what just happened. The word of wisdom told him what's about to happen. Okay? So that's moving forward. Now, let's talk about a few definitions, what the word of wisdom is not. This is going to be real practical here for you. Yes, that was Old Covenant, right? Yeah. A word of wisdom nowadays would not tell you you're going to be sick. I mean, unless God is saying you're not heeding some warnings here, okay? This is Old Covenant, you understand, right? All right, here's what word of wisdom is not. Word of wisdom is not natural smarts. It doesn't mean you're just a smart person. You've been reading the encyclopedia, so you must have the gift of word of wisdom. No. The word of wisdom, and it's not described as the word of advice. You know, your mom calls you and says, you know, don't let those kids play in the street. That's not a word of wisdom. It might be wisdom, but it's not the gift we're talking about today in church. It's not the gift of the word of wisdom. It's just smart. Don't let the kids play in the streets, right? Okay? But this, it's not just good advice. The word of wisdom is not, it's not natural gifting. It's not just a word of advice. And it's not called the gift of wisdom. Okay? You know, James, in the book of James, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask of God. And he will give it liberally. That's just wisdom given from God. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? If you called a dog a cat, people would say you're a little confused, right? So don't be confused. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, don't be ignorant of the Holy Spirit gifts. Here's what they are. The word of wisdom. It's called the word of wisdom. It could be described like this. It's the word born of wisdom. The word born out of wisdom. In other words, wisdom is that which sees the end from the beginning. It sees the end from the beginning. Think about it. When you read the book of Proverbs, it says, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. It's like a game of chess, right? Guys who are really good at chess are people who can see about 2 or 3 or 15 moves ahead, right? They see, if I do this, the other player will do that, and this will result. That's wisdom is being able to, you know, a good chess player can look about, you know, like I said, 10 or 20 moves down in the game, and they can trump their opponent because they see where things are going to go. Wisdom looks ahead and sees the end from the beginning. God has all knowledge and wisdom, but he only reveals a part, the part he wants us to know at a given time. That's what the word of wisdom is. It's a part of the wisdom in the mind of God. God sees the end from the beginning. In other words, God looks ahead in a person's life and says, this is what's coming, or this is what's ahead of you. Some of you up here today, I believe the Lord spoke some things about your future steps, the path that's ahead of you. That's a word talking about what's before you. It's not a word of knowledge from what's been in your past, but what's ahead of you, okay? The Holy Spirit speaks what's coming in the word of wisdom. I got so much to share. We'll see where we'll get. All right. Say this with me. The word of wisdom reveals a part. Say part.
Part.
It only reveals a part. And it's related to a given time. It's a part that God wants you to know at a given time in your life. Okay? You don't need to know what everything that's ahead of you, and I don't need to know everything ahead of me for the rest of my life. But today I need answers. Today you may need answers. That's where the word of wisdom comes. You know, if you called an attorney and you said, I need some legal counsel today, in this particular case, he would not share with you all his legal knowledge from years and years of experience and all the books he's read and the legal books he's read and the documents that he's read. He only shares with you the wisdom you need in a fragment piece for your particular case. Okay? So the word of wisdom, this is why it's described in the Bible as being the word of wisdom. It's not the Encyclopedia Britannica of God's wisdom about your life. Okay? God doesn't give you, be very cautious about anybody who says, I know everything I should do from now till the day I die. I just haven't seen God reveal that much to people all at once, you know? He reveals in slices, in fragments, in parts. Now I believe God for bigger parts. We can have a desire and a burn to know more and more and more, and we can begin to piece those parts together. But the word of wisdom come, it's a fragment given applying to your particular case. It always speaks of the future. If you're taking notes, write this down. The word of wisdom always speaks of the future. It reveals the plans and purposes of God. It speaks of the future, and it reveals the plans and the purposes of God. Now, folks, this is huge. Because we live in a world of darkness, and people are in darkness. They've got questions. They don't know where to go here. Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I go, you know, next week, next month? What should I do, and when should I do it? They need insight. And even Christians need insight. And this is where the word of wisdom comes. It comes to reveal God's plan, God's purpose for you for now going into the future. Amen? It sees ahead. Wisdom sees ahead. In fact, the Old Norse, if you look in the dictionary for the word wise, and it tells, I like to look, you know, where words come from. Did it come from the English, the Latin, the this, the that? And it actually comes from the Old Norse, N-O-R-S-E. And it actually, in their language, it was the word visa. Visa, wise, comes from the Old Norse word visa. It's everywhere you want to be, right? Right? Visa means to show the way. Visa simply means to show the way. This is why the word of wisdom comes. Wisdom from God comes in the gift of the word of wisdom to show us the way. Okay? Got it? It's a very simple gift to understand. It has to do with going forward. Where do I go forward in life? Visa, show you the way, okay? All right. The word of wisdom comes to show us the way. Think of it like this. Joseph was in Egypt, and God gave him what? Dreams. Actually gave Pharaoh the dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams because he had the wisdom of God in him. He had the Holy Spirit in him in that moment as needed. And in that interpretation, God gave him supernatural solutions to the coming famine. Okay? God will give you solutions. And I believe even in the world, even among, you know, heathen, among the unbelievers. I mean, Joseph is a classic example. He's the biggest example I can think of. And Daniel's another one of them in the Old Testament, where they were among heathen king. You know, people that did not believe in the God of Israel. And he's listening, and the Spirit shows him solutions for this heathen nation called Egypt. He says, if there's a famine coming, you need to store up. And through that advice, through that wisdom that God gave, he was able to save a nation and in the process save his own lineage. Because Jacob and his family came up, the Israelites came into Egypt, if you know the story. They came into the land and they also were spared through the wisdom of God given in the situation. Amen? So it can come to us in dreams. The word of wisdom can come to you in the form of a dream. It can come in the form of a picture. You can, you know, and sometimes it may be a physical thing. You may see it with your natural eyes. But really, I think you'll see it more often with the eyes of your spirit. Okay? You could, parents, for example, you could all of a sudden an image could come up in your mind and you see your child struggling. You see him in a sense in a word picture, like as if ropes are binding him and they're struggling against the ropes. You just kind of see this. You ever parents in here ever seen something about your children where they're in a situation and the Lord's just revealed something to your heart and you didn't know what it was at the time. You just thought, oh, that's just parent intuition. I believe that could have been a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, actually, of what's going on at the moment. Your child is, you know, wrestling with this or wrestling with that, and it could come in the form of like a picture in your inner man, you know, like imagination. You with me? Okay, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, these gifts can manifest in like word pictures. In fact, again, when I was talking to Kobe about how the Holy Spirit used him that day on the street in Jerusalem, he said, you know, Scott, two things about it. He said it came in word pictures. And he said also, it as he began to speak over this young man, he said, and this happened to us when we were in Israel. We were just, the spirit of prophecy came over us in Tel Aviv, and we just started prophesying. We were all CFNI students. Powerful. I've never done that before in my life. Seemed like everybody we prayed for, just boom, it just, and like Kobe said, you don't even think ahead about what you're about to say. It just comes out. Now, this is the importance, saints, of being connected in the Holy Ghost, in speaking in tongues. If you're not comfortable in speaking in tongues, you won't be comfortable in operating in these other gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, because many times they come on you and you begin to just speak and it just comes out of your spirit. You don't know what you're about to say next. And I've heard other people say it, and I've stepped out in it too, and I've seen it in my own life, that sometimes you'll only get this much. The Lord says to you, that's all you got down here. So like Reinhardt said, dynamite's only powerful when we light the fuse, when we activate it. So what do you got to do? You got to go up to the person and says, the Lord says to you, and then trust the Holy Spirit for the next word. Take a deep breath. It's true. Is that not true, Pam?
Exactly right.
Here's somebody who's operated tremendously in the gifts of the Spirit. She knows it to be true. So, listen, you got to step out. If you're taking notes, here's another thing. The word of wisdom will sometimes warn people. The word of wisdom will sometimes be for warning. An example there is Noah in the ark. God gave Noah a word. He spoke to his heart and said, there's a flood coming. He revealed his plans coming, and it was a peril to the earth. Now, everyone who listened to Noah's voice and would have obeyed, if they had obeyed and gotten in the ark, they would have been saved too. So this is something about the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes people don't obey. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. He preached. He told the people. He said, there's a flood coming. They said, what's a flood? You know, and they walked off and continued in sin and in unbelief. If they had obeyed, they too would have been blessed. So the word of wisdom will warn of peril to come. Amen? Hey, look at over. You're in Kings still, right? All right, so let's flip over to Ezra. A couple books to the right. Just there before Nehemiah. Ezra 6. This is a powerful verse. I love this verse. I got to share it today. Even if I run out of time for the other verses I want to share, because I got so many. Ezra 6, 14. Oh, we may get through it all. We'll see. Yeah, Ezra 6, 14. This is so good. I'm going to read it in the King James here. The elders, are you there? Okay, I hear pages turning still. The elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. It's easy to read over a verse like that real quick and just go, okay, next. But let's chew on it a bit, saints. Come on, read it with me again. The elders of the Jews did what? They built. And they prospered. In the New American Standard Version, it says they succeeded. They were successful. And they prospered through what? The prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished according to the commandment of God. Let me propose this to you. You and I, in this hour, I firmly believe this. I've seen it for my own life. You are not going to complete what God's given you to complete without the gifts of the Holy Spirit surrounding you and speaking into you. Words of encouragement, words of knowledge, words of wisdom for the future ahead, words of warning from those who love you and care about you, and God shows them things about your life and they warn you out of love. You and I cannot build and prosper according to the commandment of God, like it says in this verse, and complete what God's given us to do on this earth without these Holy Spirit gifts. You know how I know? Because Jesus told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem till you be endowed with power from on high, and you will have these gifts active in your life. Saints, the gifts of the Spirit are not optional. We've got to have them.
That's right.
Because there's just times that you just don't know the way. There's just times that you need the insight of the spirit realm, and we can't operate on a natural level. The plans and purposes that God has for you and I are too big, too great for you and I to step into it just in our carnal understanding. It's not enough. We got to go beyond our brains. Amen? You believe it? I believe it's true. Okay, little New Testament verse here or two. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Love this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. This is why, as a church, we're seeking out and always praying for God, send us the gifts. Send us ministers who operate in the gifts of your Holy Spirit. That's our heart criteria, and I very, very much value this. That's why we brought the Burts down in times past. We've got some other folks lined up, hopefully, between now and the end of the year. We're hoping that they will get here from far away places. Why? Because we value the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Listen, if you've got darkness in your life and you need God to shine the light on it, it's only going to come one way that I know in the way I'm talking about this morning. I mean, it can come through reading the Bible, too, but sometimes you just need a stick of dynamite thrown in your pants, okay? You just need a stick of dynamite thrown in your truck, in your trunk, in your house, in your situation. You just need that sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, and it comes through the gifts of the Spirit. It says this, you are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night. We do not belong to the darkness. We are called to be children of the day. And sometimes you just need an explosiveness of Holy Spirit breakout around you. And this is where the word of wisdom comes in. So much more to say about it. Okay, here's where we're going to end today. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Remember we said this last week, and we're going to end with this verse, Romans chapter 8. But before I read this last verse, let me just say this. We said last week, you don't have to be the holiest person on earth in order to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts of the Spirit are not given because you and I are so perfect and so holy. They're given because those people out there are so needy. Thank you. You were listening. It's not because we're so perfect. Amen? As I shared with you earlier, when Kobe was walking down the street, left the house, going down to get coffee. I'm just going to go get coffee. Ever left the house like that? All right? Don't leave in the best of moods. And yet the Holy Spirit begins to move through him to lead a man to Jesus. Why? Not because he was so perfect, but because that man was so needy. Saints, there are people out there. You know, many times I go to work in the morning, and I don't feel, like things are all going my way, or things are perfect for the day, or all my ducks are in a row. But I know that that first person that comes walking in the door in my store, I've got to show them the love of Jesus. I may shine a light in their life that may break them out of darkness. It may set them free. I may meet somebody on the sidewalk who's got an ache, a pain, a disability that's from hell, and I'm there to bring the kingdom of heaven, whether I feel like it or not. So I have to do what? I have to activate. I have to light the fuse. I have to say, Holy Spirit, it's not me, it's you. So let's speak and let's move and let's heal and let's deliver and let's set free, because there are people that need it. Amen? Yeah. It's not because you and I feel great. I shared with you a week or two ago about praying for a man one time, and I believe the gift of faith just rose up in him, a gift of healing through me. I can't explain it exactly, but that's best I can perceive it. That's what happened. But that was on that day. I was not feeling too spiritual. Another time, Tara and I went to pray for a dear saint right here from Alvin. She was in the hospital. She called us up. She said, hey, would y'all come visit me? We came there. The doctors were out of the room for the moment. She looked up and she says, I feel like I'm dying. I'll tell you, I did not feel spiritual in that moment. But she lived. We prayed with her and she lived. It's great when you pray with them and they don't die that day. It's nice. Praise the Lord. But she came through it. To live another day, to fight for another day, as they say. It's great. Even though we didn't feel spiritual at the moment. So the gifts of the Spirit don't come through you and I because we feel so spiritual. They come because people need them. Amen? And if you'll just tune on your radar. Tune it in and say, God, what do you want to say to this person? And don't cue from your natural wisdom. There's some more scriptures I was going to share with you, but they have to do with, you know, natural mindset. We'll get into that next week because I think there'll be a part two. Unless you want to stay for another hour, that's fine with me. No, I got to go to work. Romans 8, verse 28. Let's read this together in conclusion. Let's read it slowly, too. It's so good. And we know. Do you know it?
Yes.
We know it. And we know that all things, say all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The word of wisdom comes to reveal God's purpose in people's life, to show them the way, to show them what's ahead, to show them God's plans for them. And God says here, he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. He didn't say all things are good.
Yeah.
So don't attribute evil to God, all right? Just a little side note. Everything that comes your way is not necessarily good, and it's not necessarily from God, but he can work it.
Amen.
He can work it for your good and for my good. Amen?
Amen?
For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen, I had plans when I was graduating from high school, and those plans got tumbled over a little bit, and God led me a different way. God has plans for you and I, and they're big plans. And when the operation of the word of wisdom is in our midst, as you'll see in the days ahead, as we have more and more gifts here in our midst, and the Holy Spirit moves more and more mightily like he did today, you're going to see people will speak over you a word of wisdom. It's a revealing of the plans and purposes of God for your life and for mine, and we need it. Amen? Because he's got great plans for us. Why don't you stand together? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that you not only gave us your Spirit, but you released in us these nine gifts, just like dynamite, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you for the operation, the manifestation of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I'm asking, just as we said last week, you know, saints, it says in Corinthians 12, it says, you've just got to desire spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, we just reach out today. Just reach out from your heart and say, Father, use me.
Pour your gifts
through
me.
I'm available
to speak,
to touch,
to
heal,
to comfort,
as you enable me.
Move through me, Holy
Spirit.
Release your gifts in me.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. And I shared with you, you know, that word desire means to crave spiritual gifts. Nothing wrong with that. It actually means to covet. And then going a bit further, to crave or to boil. So saints, just make it your regular prayer. Holy Spirit, let your gifts move in me. Let your gifts move in me. Ask him to use you, and he will. Even while you're being perfected. Even while I'm being perfected. Isn't it great to be used by God even while we're being perfected? Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord Jesus. Yes, come on. Come on, Gina. Let me hand that mic to you.
This is for everybody here, but specifically for you and your lovely wife. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord wants you to know that, what did you say about 2019? What did you say? 2019.
Oh, 2019. It's the year of abundant harvest.
The year of abundant harvest. The year of abundance harvest. Amen. And I agree with that. But the Lord says 2020 is the year of double.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so God is saying to you, the harvest is going to bring an addition and multiplication. Amen. And so God is specifically saying to you, Pastor Scott and Terry, that get ready for the double.
Okay.
Look, you might have enough chairs in here for twice as many people. Okay. But God is saying double. He's going to double it in 2020. And so he's preparing you for this season to come. And you, Terry, God has had his hand on you since a very, very young age. And you've had such good seed sown into you by your parents. God called you from a very young age.
Yes.
And there's such a sensitivity inside of you for the Holy Spirit to hunger and to be in the presence of God. You're very sensitive and very compassionate toward others. And God is just going to double that in this year. He's going to double it. That people are going to be so drawn to you. And God is going to give you greater vision, greater word of knowledge. That you can just see when a person walks in, God is going to move back things. And he's going to show things to you in the realm of his glory that you have not seen up until this time. I'm telling you right now that God is saying to you that he is going to open greater realms of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then I want to say to the congregation here that God is saying this to you, that as Jesus went and he had taken the disciples up and they had a mountaintop experience with Jesus, and then they came down. Have you ever felt like you've been on the mountain and then you had to come down and hit reality? Come on. And reality hits you in the face. And somebody here today, reality is hitting you like this. And so Jesus walked, and as he did, the multitudes came to him, and they gathered him because they had heard of him. And a man with a demon-possessed son approached him and said, please, please, please. And the disciples couldn't cast the demon out of him. Remember the story? And so the man said to Jesus, he said, if you can do anything, please help my son. And Jesus turned around and mainly he kind of rebuked him, Scott. He said, what do you mean if? What do you mean if I can do anything? He said, no, if you can believe. All things are possible with God. And so the word of the Lord to you today is this. Get rid of if. The Lord's saying to you, get rid of that if principle. Because the devil comes and he tries to put that if, that doubt. But today God says, I want to deliver you from the ifs in your life. And the Lord is saying, what do you mean if? What do you mean if? God said, don't if me. Don't if me. I say back to you, if you will but believe, God wants to ignite the faith of God inside of you today. That everything, when God says all things, I looked it up in the dictionary, he means all. He means everything. So God is saying to you today, church, will you join hands with your pastors? Will you join with them? And will you believe that every empty chair in this house can be filled in the name of Jesus? That God can do all things, that all things are possible, that this house is going to be a light into this community, and people are going to be drawn here because they do know that the gifts of the Spirit, they're not even going to know what hits them when they enter into the house of God, because they don't understand the gifts of the Spirit. But it's all right, because you don't have to understand them, because when it's God, you're going to receive them. And so I'm telling you, people are going to be drawn to this place because of the love and the humility.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
The humility of this man of God right
yes.
here.
Amen. Yes, Lord. That's
right. Who does not move in arrogance.
That's right.
He is not moved even by money.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He is not moved by a lot of things that move preachers.
That's right.
He is moved by what thus saith the Lord
yes.
said.
Amen.
He is moved with the heart of God. And I've seen this on him when he was a young man and sat and stood at the piano, that he had the most humble spirit, one of the most humble spirits I've ever seen in a man of God. I was married to a man like that for 47 years with a spirit of God like that, with a spirit of humility that loved people. And he loves people.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If you can find a pastor that's full of love, that will love you unconditionally, you have found a
Amen.
Good thing.
Amen.
You have found a treasure.
Thank you.
I don't care how big the church is.
Yes.
What matters and what God looks at is the motive of the heart.
Amen.
He's not even looking at the numbers, though. God wants to multiply, and he wants to add, and he wants to do double. But what God wants to see is what's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And what he sees in you, man of God, is a heart after God. He sees in you a heart that wants to see the people fulfill the call of God that they have on their life. That's why you give the word that you do. You're not trying to build your own kingdom. You're trying to build the kingdom of God and give these people a word that will bring them to another level of authority that they have in Christ. That key that Jesus said, whatever I have, now you have it. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying over you today. He's saying over you today the love of his heart, that whatever I have, I give it to you.
Amen.
My God. What if you could go to the bank and the banker said, hey, whatever we got in the bank here today, you can have it. You'd be running around the bank. You'd be shouting from the rooftops. But Jesus said, whatever I have today, you can have it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Awesome.
I have a tag on there. When I was talking about the Lord gave me this word about the trouble, that in 2020, the double, and the Lord said, double for your trouble, and that many of you have gone through troubles. Raise your hand if you've had some troubles. If you're breathing, you probably have your hand up. And if you haven't, well, then we'll go to your house, you know. But I mean, there's just things that happen, you know. But here's what the Lord showed me. He said, remember when they troubled the waters? He said, what happened when the waters were troubled? People got in and got healed. And he said, now, double for your trouble. And he said, and for the body of Christ's trouble, he said, now I'm about to trouble the waters of the enemy, and I'm going to stir up the waters of the waters where people are healed. They just jump in and they get into the, and he said, this is a place that will be known where the spirit, they'll say, go over there, the spirit of God's moving. And he said, it's because I'm troubling the enemies. What the enemy had before, I'm taking it back, and now it'll give him trouble, because the waters will be troubled. In other words, they'll be stirred. And he said, what you're doing is you're stirring the water within people. You're stirring up the gifts of God that are within people. And he said, stir up yourself. Stir up the gifts that are within you. Pastor is stirring up the gifts that are within us. Yeah. And the Lord, and then he said, he'll quicken those, and they'll overflow, and they'll come out to other people. But I love that he said that he's stirring the waters, and it'll be a lot of trouble for the enemy. What he's done, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good. And then there were two other things that God gave me for this gentleman right here. I don't know your name. What's your name? For Chris, and tell me again your daughter's name.
Rachel.
For Rachel. The Lord said that the enemy's always tried to steal your joy. He's tried to keep you from having real joy. And just there's something been really deep in your lives for all your lives. And the Lord said, and he says, and your countenance is going to change, where people will think they just smile all the time. And he says, here's what he said to tell you, both of you. He says, a greater joy is yet to come. The enemy will no longer be able to steal your joy. When you get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord's made, I will rejoice in it and be glad. The Lord says, after you do that, you begin to activate that in your life. He said, you're going to begin to smile all the time, and the enemy will not be able to take the smile off your faces, because a greater joy is yet to come. That's it.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, clap if you believe it. I'll tell you what. Woo, it's raining in here. Hallelujah. Double for our trouble.
Amen.
I receive that in Jesus' name. And yeah, I believe going into 2020, we just declare it, we will have double. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The final thoughts that Sister Judy shared, and we go a long ways back with this gal, let me tell you. Late 80s, before my daughter was born, she and her husband were singing Southern Gospel at Sagemont Full Gospel Church, and it was just like, man, this is amazing. Awesome times. But the Lord is saying, take it. Take it. Take it. If you can see it, you can have it. If God's shown it to you, you can possess it. If you see it here in your heart, He's reminding us today, saints, to take it. He's given us the keys for that which He's shown us. Therefore, we have to go in and be faithful and take it. Just like Israel had to possess the land. They had to go in. They had to do something. They had to fight some giants. But it's yours. Amen. In Jesus. Thank you, ladies, so much for sharing the heart of God with us today. Thank you. God bless you for coming. And just receive that word, saints. It's yours. Take it. In 2009, listen, there's still about 3 or 4 months left in the year. Take it. Whatever God's put before you, take it and have it this year in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go. We love you.